Welcome to the Endless Honeymoon Podcast.
I would go more energy.
I'm trying to be real.
Okay, right. I would go like this. I would go, welcome to the Endless Honeymoon Podcast.
Oh, that's okay.
You try that.
Welcome to the Endless Honeymoon Podcast.
Hi, it's the AM mix in the morning. It's the meat crew. Something like that.
Pretty cool that we don't have to do morning radio anymore.
Yeah, that's because we don't do stand-up anymore.
That was one of the most humiliating things about stand-up.
Oh, there was a very funny comment on my Instagram about last week's episode with Chelsea. This person says, this rando, of course, says, hold on, let me see if I can find it. So much COVID paranoia in this episode. I feel bad for these comics. Comedy is going to come back, and some of the most talented voices are going to be held back by overblown fears of a viral illness that in reality poses a minute risk to their health. I mean, what does he think is... I was trying to like get to the bottom of the narrative. COVID goes away. Comedy makes a triumphant return, but you, me, and Chelsea Peretti are still... quarantining because we're so scared. Everybody's back to business. Society's booming. We're back, baby. Everybody's touring. All of our peers are touring, right? But you, me, and Chelsea are still on Zoom talking about how scared we are of the pandemic.
Listen, life is hell. Vote for Joe Biden. That's the only viable option to vote for. It will be better in the long run and short term for the environment. It'll be better for minimum wage. It'll be better for morale. We won't have people shouting lies at us. Maybe there will still be lies, but it'll just be like we could chill out just a little bit, because it'll just have someone a little like...
Yeah, there'll still be lies, but they'll probably be a little bit less fever pitch. I'm just going to say this. You know, listen, if you haven't made up,
you're gonna pretend like you're gonna. No one knows who you're voting for.
Oh, I obviously am voting for Joe Biden. I'm not a fucking moron.
And but, also, people out there who like are mad that it's Biden. Are there people like that? You know, like I think we should all just become Biden bros for the sake of the environment. Let's just do it.
Well, here's what I was going
to equality.
All right, you let me
for
know.
For hatred,
I'll be here when I can.
Okay.
Can I chime in?
Yes.
No, you go ahead.
No, go ahead.
No, you go ahead.
I'm probably saying too much.
No, you're not saying enough.
Okay, then you go.
No, please.
I'm done. I just wanted to make sure I was...
What I was going to say is, and by the way, listen, if you're a Trump voter and you're listening to this podcast, you are most welcome. And I'm glad that you're here.
Don't want your ad dollars.
The reality is, it's very different. First of all, who are these undecided voters who are toggling back and forth between Biden and Trump a week before the election?
I'm not trying to talk to those people. I'm trying to talk to my fans who are maybe
not going to vote
for whatever reason, maybe trying to urge them to vote for Biden. Because it seems like if this doesn't happen, it's going to be like really bad.
Cataclysmic. You're talking specifically about the environment.
The environment, morale. People are going to just freak out.
Well, people are going to freak out no matter who wins. We have come. What did Colin Quinn say in his political history?
And racial, like, no, I didn't want to forget that though. I didn't want to forget like what's going to happen with racial inequality and people. You know, the president's inciting hatred, and that to me is so bad that
Here's what I think. First of all, I don't understand who undecided voters are at this point. I don't know that I've ever in my life met a person who couldn't decide between the two candidates. Like, who are these people that keep making the poll numbers swing back? Are they our grandparents?
I have no idea.
Like, I just don't understand. My grandma and grandfather, all of my grandparents are dead. So that would be kind of, honestly, kind of spooky. But also kind of cool and appropriate for Halloween, if that's who it was that was toggling the needle.
Well, I think it's also important to the people who maybe are just, like, mad that it's Biden and don't want to vote.
Yeah,
think
but
it's really
who
important
is that?
To vote.
That's such an insignificant number of people. But what I think a much bigger portion of the pie than people that are undecided voters or people who are like angry that it's Biden because they wanted Bernie and have decided to sit this one out. A much bigger piece of the pie are people who are just apathetic and aren't going to vote because they feel politically disempowered, which is a very legitimate feeling. But what you're saying about the environment, like the environment is the only thing that actually matters, because without an environment, without an ecosystem, no lives can matter. No rights can be furthered. There is no struggle for equality if everybody is breathing sulfuric carbon monoxide. So it's like, just on that alone, I think the choice is obvious. But if you know, this is what I think, since we're doing political stuff tonight. If you know somebody who is, because I don't think there's any point in telling people to vote for your candidate. People have made their mind. This is my opinion. People have made their minds up at this point. The only people that are important now are people that have decided not to vote. And that's huge. So if you are listening and you know who you're voting for, but you also know some people in your life who are just like, fuck it, I'm not voting. You got to get them to vote just in this election. They can sit the next one out.
But don't get them to vote if you know they're going to vote for Trump.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. But all I'm saying is if you know somebody who's not going to vote, it makes a huge difference, because like, who's calling those people? You know, I've done phone banking for candidates before. I'm going to do phone banking for this candidate, right? It's just some have you ever done it?
Yeah.
It's so awkward. You're calling random strangers. None of them want to speak to you.
You're not really going to change someone's mind.
I consider myself a pretty politically active person. If a person from the Biden camp or Bernie, who actually excited me when he was a candidate, somebody from Team Bernie called me and wanted to talk to me about a meetup, I'd be like, unsubscribe, take my do not call list, bitch. Hang up, like never. But if you actually have somebody in your life that is in the undecided, like, I don't know if I'm going to vote this time camp, it's huge to take the things that it makes a huge difference and moves the needle in a real way, to take the things that you care about politically and talk to your loved one, your family member, your friend, your lover, and say, it's important to vote in this election, and here is why. Our environment is at stake. You know, the stability of this country is at stake. Whatever it is that is most animating for you about this particular political election, talk to your friends. And fuck Joe Biden. Fuck the president. It's important to vote all the way down ballot. That's actually, I was just talking to you about this last night. Like, this is, I'm 40 years old. I know I look 23. I am somewhat politically active. I didn't know who my district attorney was and in any city I've ever lived in until this year, right? Like, there's something happening politically where people are starting to finally understand the idea, me included, that politics is not just about voting for the president once every 4 years. Politics is about actually the people in your community that you vote for that can actually change your life. Like, the president, with the exception of the last 4 years, like, my personal life doesn't really get affected one way or the other, but my city council people actually really do. And the district attorney, that's really does, because it changes the community that I live in. So I think that's, I guess, since we're doing politics tonight, my message. If you know somebody who's not going to vote, talk to them, because it actually makes a much bigger difference than any campaign can if you talk to a person you know and tell them why it's important to vote specifically in this election.
We were at a park yesterday and some person coughed on us as a joke.
Oh, it was like an aggressive, like, get out of my neighborhood cough. It wasn't like
And then they did it again when they drove away.
It was like a But you know what the bright side was?
Is that the future? Are people like, the anti-masker is going to start coughing on the people who have
It's not like we were doing a
read a science book.
Yeah, but it's not like we came through with an I believe in science
We were
t-shirt.
Wearing masks in a park.
Right. Well, but I had my mask down. We got out of I don't know what it was. I really honestly think I do know what it was, and I don't think it had much to do with COVID-19, but more to do with gentrification, if you know what I mean. But the good news is the guy was wearing Reese's Pieces pajama bottom pants, so it was hard for me to feel too resentful at the guy. He'd made choices that led him to those pants.
That was a pretty bad adult outfit.
It was a grown man with the Reese's Pieces, like the baggy, like a college sophomore dorm pajama fleece.
I used to hate when girls would wear their sweatpants to class.
I was fantasizing about if I had to fight the guy, that I probably would have pantsed him first. You know, get him humiliated and tripped up. You know,
you really thought you could have fought him?
I would have beat his ass. The dude was like severely out of shape. I mean, he's, what's funny about it actually is he's a prime candidate for severe side effects if he ever got COVID-19. He looked very unhealthy. He looked like the type of guy who eats a 1 liter of Mountain Dew for breakfast every morning.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he likes Faygo, Monster Energy drink, and like a electric raspberry vape juice with many Z's. He was that type of dude. You know what I mean? And his poor girlfriend. I mean, he had a girlfriend, which is kind of, hey, good for him, huh? I mean, that's funny. All these people calling our podcast, they can't find love. And fucking old Mountain Dew Reese's pants is over here just fucking and finding love in the Echo Park area. Good for him. Good.
Well, why don't we take a call?
You want to take a call?
Yeah.
Okay. Let's take a call. Hey, Todd.
Yeah, Mush.
According to a recent Forbes article, working from home can transform the job market and create global competition for every role. This means that if you're an employer, you're competing with even more employers to find the best candidates for the job. So, how do you get your company and the job that you're offering to stand out? Start with ZipRecruiter by trying it for free at ZipRecruiter.com/honeymoon.
When you post a job on ZipRecruiter, you can tag it with labels like actively hiring or remote to attract the right talent.
Next, ZipRecruiter's powerful technology identifies people with the skills and experience that match your job. Like if somebody was looking for us, they'd be like, I'm looking for a comedy super couple. And they would look us up and they'd be like, yes.
And if you're really interested in a candidate and want to snag them before they're contacted by other companies, you can invite them to apply for your job. With one click, ZipRecruiter sends them an email from you and you stand out from the competition.
That's right. We would receive an email that said, I have found my comedy super couple.
It's no wonder that 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day.
And right now you can try ZipRecruiter for free at ZipRecruiter.com/honeymoon. That's ZipRecruiter.com/HoneyMoon.
Get the edge on the competition. Go to ZipRecruiter.com/honeymoon.
ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire. Hey, Tosh.
Yeah, Mosh.
I want to talk to you about a topic that is near and dear to my heart, which is excess body hair. Now, we've discussed in the past Manscaped, which is a product that helps you trim the hair around your testicles, anus, and penis. But they've just released the Weed Whacker, which helps with errant hairs in your nose and ear. And I will tell you that there's nothing, no look on a man that more says, fuck it, I've tapped out on life, than nose hair a-twirling out the nose. But I also know that it's difficult to find the right nose hair trimmer. And the
Wow, you sure have
works.
A lot to say on this topic.
I'm a hairy dude. I know what's up. Take a look in the mirror. I guarantee you will see hair sticking out of your nose. And you will feel like, wow, how did I get here?
No, Moshe is so excited about the Weed Whacker.
Weed Whacker.
Intelligently contoured design enhances the trimming experience, and it is waterproof, which makes it for easy operating and cleaning.
They use their proprietary skin-safe technology, which helps prevent nicks, snags, and tugs in all of those delicate holes.
Men, you have to trim your nose hair. This is the only nose hair trimmer on the market with a powerful and rechargeable lithium battery that lasts for up to 90 minutes.
There is nothing that says deal breaker more than nose hair, just a twirling out your nose like a cobweb in a J.R.R. Tolkien novel. 79% of partners polled admitted that long nose hair is a major turnoff.
So you can upgrade, get Manscaped routine with the Weed Whacker. Get 20% off right now, plus free shipping with the promo code honeymoon at manscaped.com. Thank you, Manscaped, for keeping Moshe trimmed up and looking nice.
20% off free shipping with the code honeymoon at manscaped.com. That's 20% off with free shipping at manscaped.com and use the promo code honeymoon. What are you waiting for? Go whack your weeds. Now we're going to call Jillian in North Carolina.
Hi, Jillian.
Hi, guys.
Hi, how are you?
I'm doing wonderful. How are you guys doing?
Wonderful is a great way to describe the state of things.
Things are good. Well, you're a swing state voter. Are you voting?
Oh, yeah. Hell yeah.
Trump, baby, right? Trump train.
Yeah, you know me.
What's happening in North Carolina? How can we help?
I am living in North Carolina. I'm currently in New York visiting my family.
Did you vote in North Carolina?
No.
You're voting in New York?
No. I'm just saying I'm in my mother's car right now because I'm staying with her for the weekend. And that's why I'm in a car. I just had to say it before this started.
Well, okay, we got that. But what I'm trying to get to is, are you voting in North Carolina?
Yes.
For
Biden baby.
Biden, but you're one of the classic Biden babies, I can tell.
I'm actually a Bernie baby. I'm a Bernie baby.
Yeah, we're all Bernie baby.
Now we're all Biden babies.
We're Biden babies. You know what I am, actually? I'm a Biden bro.
Yeah.
I go online and I sort of aggressively go after people that say anything bad about Biden. Because that's my guy. That's my daddy. Biden is my zaddy. Yeah, he's my hot zaddy. He's my dentured zaddy.
Yeah.
So what's happening? Why'd you contact us?
I contacted you guys. One, huge fans of the show. Two, I got dumped around 2 months ago and going through like a dry spell. And I'm wondering what is the right time to reach out. Can you reach out to an ex for a booty call without getting your feelings involved again?
No.
You say no.
Next call.
Is there?
No, I'm just kidding. You think no though?
Well, if he dumped, are you talking about the guy who just dumped you?
Yeah.
I assumed you meant an old ex. You're saying you guys broke up recently and you're thinking about hitting him up and saying, just come get this pro universal healthcare hot thing on you.
Jillian, don't do that.
Well, what about like 2 months from now? So the context is like,
why can't you meet someone in the next 3 months?
Okay, because there's a pandemic and I don't feel that trustworthy of new people.
Right.
Sure. I get that. So you're
he
assuming,
probably doesn't share that.
You're assuming that while you guys have been broken up, he's been in an N95 mask being celibate, just like waiting on your call.
Yes, that's how I like to imagine this scenario.
Wait, I know this. Wait, so did he break your heart, or what? Did you feel sad about this? Were you in love with him?
Oh, I was totally heartbroken for sure. Yeah.
Jillian?
I know. It's Jillian. Bad, dude. It's bad.
It's not bad. It's the most normal thing in the world. It's just the answer is never. Never.
Why?
Why do you want to contact him? It's for sex? Bullshit. I mean, no one believes that.
But, like, there's so... Him and I had, like, a very fulfilling physical connection.
Sure.
And that's hard for it's hard for me to have that with people. And I don't know, that just this one, usually I can like move on, but this one's like really fucking, it's not easy. And I have needs that I want to meet. And yeah, like I can take care of myself, but I don't know. I just miss the connection physically. And I'm just curious if there's any way I can make it happen.
It sounds like you've talked yourself, because it's like you obviously miss more than just the physical. I mean, it seems like you've kind of rationalized in your head and you're like, oh, well, it's just the physical that I miss. But you were in love with him.
Right.
And it seems like he hurt you. And I'm sure there's some unspoken things that still are not clear in your head, right?
Yeah, for sure.
So, I mean, it just feels like going and offering him sex.
No, I'm with you. I feel like exactly what Natasha's saying.
He doesn't deserve you, basically, is what I'm saying. But I don't know the details, but it's like...
But I totally agree with you. Like, what it sounds like to me, Jillian, is that you want this man. He rejected you on some level, and you have, your brain has scrambled to find a narrative that you can weave that will allow you to have a justification to get more of him. So you're like, okay, emotionally, it fell apart. But actually, I don't miss him emotionally. Actually, I just miss him physically. We had a really strong physical connection, and I'm guessing, because I know...
There's a pandemic, like, we have to do it.
Exactly. You're making all these negotiations with yourself to find a path back to him, but the path is away from him. The path to freedom is Joe Biden 2020. No, the path away from him is
meeting someone else who you also have a great, now you know what a great physical connection feels like. So that is what you're going to, you know, strive for. You know, you're able to be in a relationship. You've been in one. You know what you want. You want someone who, I don't know the details. We don't need to know him, but maybe whatever he had that you loved, look for that. But then what's better than him? You know, maybe he needs to cherish you more, or maybe he needs to, I don't know what the situation was. Maybe he needs to give you more attention. Maybe he needed to get a job. I mean, I don't know. It's just the point is, like, it's over with him. Now use that knowledge to, in your search for another person, I think.
Yeah. Can I ask you a question, Jillian? Do you often have really great physical connections with people that you don't have strong emotional connections to?
I know what I like, so I usually get what I want because I know how to ask for it.
Yeah, but I guess I'm saying, yeah. I know those feelings of having a partner where you're like, whoa, sexually, this is magical. I miss those days. But but like, what it feels to me, not knowing you that well, but it feels to me like probably the fact that you had an intense physical connection went hand in hand with the fact that you had also this emotional connection as well. Yeah. So you might even be going to a well that doesn't have water for you anymore, regardless. It might not be there for you. Find somebody new.
You seem so cool. You're gorgeous. Cool. You know, it's just like, I don't think you need to go crawling back to some guy who's probably fucking somebody else right now.
Yeah.
No offense. That is usually why people break up, especially during a pandemic.
And that's what guys do. Immediate breakup. The immediate thing is to swing to the somebody new. So I think, I don't like this plan, Jillian. I don't think you should contact him again.
Now, I have a question. Why do you think, like, feeling like, I was rejected, right? Why does that make me still want this person, even though I know they don't want me? I don't get that.
Well, that's a good question.
Well, naturally, we always kind of want a little bit what we can't have, right?
But there's more to it than that, right? It's like, we've all had the experience of somebody breaking it off with you, and then you still want them even though they've harmed you, and you're like, what is wrong with me that I still desire someone who has hurt me? I mean, not,
but maybe you liked, you know, they could be cute, they could be funny, they could have a lot of interesting knowledge. I mean, there's so many. They could be spiritual, they could give you great advice. I mean, there's so many reasons why you would still want to be with someone even though they don't want to be with you.
But you weren't done. He ended it before you were done, and that's part of it.
Yeah.
I mean, I've had maybe a classic Moshe anecdote will help. I don't know. But I was I was with this girl who was cruel to me. I mean, really just mean. And my pattern in relationships was if a woman was into me, I would freak out and end the relationship. But if a woman was playing this bizarre game where she was like into me, but then the moment I would be like, okay, I'm into you, she would like reject me on some level and kind of run away, then I would go, oh, more of that, whatever that is, you know, I'm after that. And I did this with this girl for like a year. She treated me like shit. I mean, she was like, this was an awful person. And I was chasing her and calling her, writing her letters. And then she would, every time I would go, forget it, I can't do this anymore, she would come back and go like, okay, I want to be with you. And I go like, oh, amazing. And then she would reject me. It was this crazy dance.
But honey, I married you.
So one day after chasing this person for like a year, you know, on and off, every time she'd pull away, every time I'd pull away, she'd come back to me. Every time I'd come back to her, she'd pull away. I finally was like with a group of my friends, and there was an ex-girlfriend there. I was hanging out with a bunch of friends and an ex-girlfriend. And I had this like this instantaneous realization. I was like, look at all these people in my life who love and respect me. Look at this ex-girlfriend of mine who we're not even together, and she treats me with more compassion and respect and kindness than this person that I'm purporting to want in my life, that I think I'm trying to convince myself I need to have in my life. All my friends love and respect me. Even this person who I don't even date anymore loves and respects me. Why do I want to go to this place that is poison when I've got all this health and sustenance in front of me? And I never thought about that girl again after that moment. So I don't know what the answer is, why we want what we can't have, but I know that like the answer is not engaging in that desire. The answer is engaging in the positive parts of your life.
And healing from the hurt.
Yeah.
And, you know, that's hard. And, you know, move on.
Yeah, because it will end. It does always end. Every time I have a friend who calls me and they're like, I'm so heartbroken. I broke up with this person. And my mouth says, I'm so sorry you're going through that. My mind says, oh, you're going through the thing that everybody goes through with every single relationship they ever have, except for maybe one. And even that one, you don't even know. It's like the most common story in the world. And the good news about that is it always gets better. I mean, it's cliche, but time heals all wounds.
All right. Yeah, well, I know it's late where you're at and you're hiding in a car. So, yeah.
So
we can let you go to bed.
So get on Bumble, get on Tinder.
Yeah, get on those. You're gonna have so much action in 3 months. You're going to forget about this.
Find
dude.
Somebody with a good COVID-19 protocol and just get over this loser.
And one more thing, when he hits you up for sex after that girl that he's fucking right now kind of like loses interest or whatever, maybe say I'm good.
Yeah, I'm good right now.
Maybe pass on that. All
yeah,
right.
Yeah. All right.
But don't dream about that too much, because it might happen, it might not. But you know, just like
yeah.
You seem awesome.
You
seem awesome, and we both know in our heart of hearts that there is somebody out there that's gonna give you even better physical connection than whatever that lame-o did. All right, good luck.
Okay, bye, Jillian.
Thanks, guys.
Bye bye.
Bye.
I mean that's a real question, though. That's an interesting question.
Why do we want what we can
Why do our brains continue to want someone?
Or anything.
Or anything. When we've been rejected. What is the psychological reason? I mean, it's obvious when someone breaks up with you, you're just like, you're still in the dance. And then all of a sudden they're like, I'm out. And you're not done yet. But why 6 months, a year later, what is heartbreak and longing? What is that thing where you want somebody that you know treated you poorly and you just keep wanting it?
Well, it's like if you're picking out a shirt and like you saw that one was sold out, all of a sudden you're like, oh, that's the one. That's probably the best one. That's what I want.
But then like 9 months later, you're like, I saw this shirt, man.
No,
this
I'm just saying.
It was perfect for me.
That's a stupid analogy.
It was such a shirt.
I'm just saying like you always want the thing that's like everyone else wanted, because you're like, there's a reason. Maybe that one's better.
I do have a theory that isn't connected, doesn't really answer why we want. But I have this theory that like when it comes to heartbreak and longing, you're good for 1 month to lament and pine and talk about it with your friends. After the 1 month mark, it's time to stop talking about it.
That is annoying. Like that friend who's like still trying, after 3 years, they're still talking about it.
Well, my theory is that after a month or so, the talking about it becomes actually the disease itself. It's like, it's not even really about the relationship anymore. Now you're in a cycle of like self-pity, and you're hooked into this emotional process where like you're a person who is sad about your breakup. It becomes like picking at a wound, you know, and you never let the wound heal. You just always are going back, and it's seductive because it seems like you're processing your way out of it by talking about it and processing it with your friends and your therapist and your loved ones and blah, blah, blah. It seems like healthy because you're like, oh, I'm talking about it. I'm trying to get through it. But really what you're doing is you're like indulging and
ruminating
fantasy.
Playing a broken record.
That.
Not picking up the...
Exactly.
The...
Needle
to put it on another.
Yeah, exactly. That's as close as I can come to figuring that out.
Well, Moshe, I want to hear some secrets because I've been really into listening to the secrets.
Let's do it.
Making me feel not alone.
Let's do it.
Hi, Moshe. Hi, Natasha. My secret is that for the past like 6 months, we have been catching mice in my house. And my parents are convinced that there is a mice infestation, but they're actually catching the same mice over and over again because I actually release them back into the house because I think they're really cute. And we have like a pretty big house and they don't really bother anyone. And it's almost winter, so I don't want to like put them out in the snow, in the cold. And I'm really sorry, especially to Natasha. I know she hates mice, but we keep catching the same mouse over and over and over again. And so my family thinks we have like 50 mice in my house. So yeah, that's my secret.
Wait, when they catch them, it doesn't die?
She might probably has one of these like humane traps. We're supposed to drive the mouse away.
This whole like knowing that you know how many mice you have. Moshe too, he's like, we got one mouse. I'm like, how can you possibly think we have one mouse outside? Every time I open up a gate, I see a mouse outside. It's not the same mouse.
What? How do you know? When you see the mouse outside, you think you see, oh, this one's got a top
that's
hat
just,
on.
It's his
Oh, that's
home.
Robert.
That's just his home?
Yeah, haven't you ever seen any cartoons where the mouse goes in a little hole and he's got like an easy chair and a stove and he's making a pot roast?
I think mice in cartoons are cute, but I don't have the gene that like makes me like have like overactive empathy towards a rodent.
Am I going to get in trouble because I talked about murking mice on this podcast?
No, that's what you're supposed to do. You can't inhale their urine and get sick.
Well, this lady seems really good. Her voice was like sultry. Maybe that urine's good for you.
Wait, so you think that you could get in trouble, like people?
You know, like Petum. No, you know Petum.
Here's the thing.
Do you know Petum?
I wish.
Let me make my joke. Petum.
PETA?
Petum.
What's Petum?
People for the Ethical Treatment of Mice. Thanks, hon. It was worth it.
I was hoping you would just move past that.
Well, you weren't hoping. You were interrupting and trying to change the subject audibly.
Yeah, I don't have that bone in my body where I like feel bad for. I hate coyotes. I want them all dead.
Honestly, I hate coyotes too, and I want them dead. I'd rather kill a coyote than a mouse, really, because coyotes are they're diabolical. They're actually, to be honest, they're wily. They are wily.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean,
I don't like coyotes. I want to die. Do you know this, Natasha? Coyotes are so wily that they will, a few things. They will feign injury to get a dog to come close to them and then attack the dog. They'll mm-hmm. be like, they'll limp so that the dog's like, oh, it was a wounded coyote. Also, if you start killing them, if you start hunting coyotes in your area, their litters will increase.
Yeah, it's revolting.
It's wild. It's wily. Also, did you know this about coyotes? They have an indefatigable desire to chase after roadrunners, and no matter how many times they don't catch the roadrunner, they will just go back for more. If they're hit with an anvil from the Acme Corporation.
I get it.
Okay, good.
Well, I think that girl who called in is inspiring because I wish I could be that laid back and not such like a stereotype of a woman.
Yeah, she seems cool. She's capturing a mouse in a humane trap, walking around the corner, releasing it back into her house and telling her mom, we got the mouse.
Just adopt it. Make it a pet.
Right.
Put it in a little like guinea pig
terrarium.
Cage.
Yeah. That's a great idea. Yeah, that's what you should do. Tell them this mouse you're keeping. Put it in an aquarium and then your mom will be like, we solved the mouse problem. All right. Shall we hear another secret?
Yeah.
Hi, guys. I have a secret. So last week I had emergency surgery and I'm staying with my parents until I get better. And since I didn't have any of my things because it was a surprise emergency surgery, my dad had to go to my apartment and get some of my stuff. And one of those things he had to get was underwear, which is sort of weird in itself, but I didn't put too much thought into it. But this morning I woke up in a panic because I realized that I have my vibrator and lube in my underwear drawer and there is a 100% chance that he saw it. So that's it. Thanks, guys. Bye.
I got bad news for her. Based on the number of secrets we've heard in and around this subject, there is at least a 50-50 chance that not only did your dad see it, but he used it. That's the bad news. I wouldn't have said that before we started the Secrets Hotline, but
that's what I like about you, Moshe. If you saw that in our daughter's drawer in 15 years or 20
I was going to say,
years.
If I saw it now, I'd be a little concerned.
Well, now she's two, but I feel like you're the type of person who would not fluster you.
I don't think it would. No, I don't think it would fluster me. No.
It's not that big of a deal.
I mean, it's no, it's not that big of a deal.
It's good.
Yeah, I think. I mean, I don't know what that'll be like. Yeah, I don't know what that would be like as a father to be like, yikes, my child has a sex drive. But but no, I don't think I would make a big deal of it. My mom had her vibrator out on her mantle my entire childhood. True. I know
her
what
mantle.
I well, like not the mantle, not that. Oh, that's what goes over the fireplace, huh?
Yeah.
No, the head. She had a bed that had it was a the headboard was like shelves,
mm-hmm.
and it was just on there. I know what brand of vibrator and lubricant my mother uses.
What kind of lube?
Astroglide, purple bottle.
And she would have that out for your stepfather to see, also.
I mean, I would assume he was aware that she. That she liked the buzz. I don't know. Yeah, it wasn't for us to see. It was just like she didn't put it away. It was disturbing.
All right. Well,
let's play another secret.
Let's play another one.
Hi, Natasha and Moshe. I have a secret for you. This morning I went to go get a bagel because I was very hangry and it was just kind of one of those mornings where nothing went right. And so I walked in the park afterwards and I was going to step aside somewhere that was distance enough from people to eat it. And right as I opened the package, there was a bee that came by and I accidentally dropped the bagel and it landed like in the dirt. But I was so hungry that I just decided to eat it anyway. And I know it's like the middle of a pandemic, but I was like, nobody's going to see me. So then I finished eating it and then as I was leaving, I noticed there was somebody who walked by that gave me this look. It was kind of like a disappointed look or like a I know what you did look. And I don't know for sure who it was, but I'm pretty sure it was Lin-Manuel Miranda. And I'm just a little bit embarrassed because I really genuinely did just put a muddy ass bagel in my mouth while Lin-Manuel Miranda walked by. So that's my secret. Love your show. Bye.
That is great. Oh, I just love everything about it.
Man, that makes me miss New York.
Right. That is so funny. You're in New York. Oh, yeah, it's a very New York story, isn't it?
Well, because people had a bagel, are walking around.
I dropped it on the ground.
I'm hangry.
I ate it anyway. I look up and the creator of Hamilton is just judgmentally shaking his head at me.
When I used to waitress, I know I have a memory of eating people's chicken fingers after they were done.
Yeah, well, that's not so bad, I think.
Like, I would clear the plate and then finish it.
Actually, that's gross. I could never do
that.
Well,
I just was hungry for good food.
Oh, yeah, that it does sound like good food. A chicken finger. I didn't.
Well, like, you know, hot, warm, nice food. I don't know. I was poor in New York.
Yeah, you got to do what you got to do.
I'm just saying.
You know what? You don't want to do in New York. You know what you don't want to do in New York?
If you're hungry, eat it.
You don't want to miss your shot. I've been thinking of a way to say that since I heard Lin-Manuel. Hey, who cares, you know?
Well,
look him in the eye.
Yeah, you know what? I think.
Look him in the eye and say, Hamilton was overrated. Hey, Tosh.
Yeah, Mosh.
Do you have a shoe recommendation?
Oh, funny you should ask. Well, I'm really enjoying my Rothy's shoes made from recycled...
Wait a minute. Before you finish that sentence, I don't want these shoes because I don't like how wasteful shoes are. I only want shoes that are made out of recycled water bottles.
That's what these are.
Rothy's are made of recycled water bottles? I'm
in. Yes. They make stylish, sustainable shoes and bags. Rothy makes carefully crafted with eco-friendly materials like repurposed plastic water bottles and marine plastic.
There's zero break-in period.
They're so comfortable.
They are ultra comfortable and they are broken in the moment that you slip them on. In fact, Vogue, and they know a thing or two about fashion, called Rothy's a personal obsession.
With many chic styles to choose from, Rothy's shoes are the perfect pair for any cold weather adventure also.
You wear the flats, is that right?
I like the black flats.
And they're really comfortable.
Extremely.
But wait a minute. Are they made of recycled? Yes. Sorry, they are. Rothy's also comes with free shipping and free returns. So you can check out all the amazing bags and shoes available right now at rothys.com/honeymoon.
Machine washable.
That's rothys.com. rothys.com/honeymoon. Head to rothys.com/honeymoon today. Hey, Tosh.
Yeah, Mosh.
I'm pretty excited about this ad.
You've been doing a free ad for this company, I'd say, for the last 3 months.
Have I?
Well, because we're so happy with the product we've been telling everybody.
Oh, I've been doing an interpersonal ad telling people about this. Listen.
So now you get to do your real one.
We've told you before about Helix, the mattress, the most comfortable mattress
we've
ever
had. Love those mattresses.
Love that mattress in a box. Well, they have another company, and it's called Allform, and they make custom-made sofas that you can design, and they ship them to you. And we got one.
I think we got it sent to the house that we were staying at.
To my cabin up in
North, the cabin.
And it's unbelievable. It's so comfortable. It's so stylish. It literally transformed the look of our cabin, the whole cabin, just with this couch.
It was so beautiful, but somehow, definitely, hands down, the most comfortable couch I had ever been in. And it was also like kind of petite. It was like a big couch, but like tiny.
It was crazy.
I love it.
It's the easiest way. It's all form. And it's the easiest way you can customize a sofa using premium materials at a fraction of the cost of traditional stores. That's right. Not only was this the coolest couch and the most comfortable couch we've ever been on, it was also incredibly affordable. And it was super high quality.
They've got armchairs, love seats, all the way up to an 8-seat sectional. So there's something for everyone. You can always start small, buy more seats later on if you want your all-form sofa to grow and change when you move.
You can pick your fabric, and it's spill, stain, and scratch resistant. We have 3 dogs, and there were 5 kids, and they're not kidding when they say spill, stain, and scratch resistant. This couch looked as good when we started on it as it did a month later. It looked brand new, and I'm sure it's just going to keep looking brand new.
Easy to set up, looks extremely expensive, wasn't that expensive in terms of couches. Couches can be like insane.
And they ship it straight to you, to your home with fast free shipping. In the past, if you wanted to order a sofa, it could take weeks or months to arrive, and you need someone to come and assemble it for you in your home. Allform takes just 3 to 7 days to arrive in the mail, and you can assemble it yourself in a few minutes. No tools needed. It was easy.
They even offer a forever warranty, literally forever. So find your perfect sofa now. Check out allform.com/honeymoon.
If you're freaking out and you think it sounds a little risky to order a sofa online, you don't need to worry. They give you 100 days to decide if you want to keep it. That's more than 3 months. And if you don't love it, they'll come pick it up for you and give you a full refund. But you won't, because honestly, this is the coolest couch we've ever owned.
Allform's offering 20% off all orders for our listeners at allform.com/honeymoon. Okay, now we're going to call Renee in Chicago. Hi, Renee.
Hi, how's it going?
Good, how are you?
I'm doing great.
Great. I'm surprised that you haven't been killed in Chicago. Apparently, according to what the president says, everyone in Chicago is a murder victim.
Yeah, well, Chicago's a wonderful place, but, it has its drawbacks. Any city does. So.
Hey, Natasha, you're kind of almost sort of kind of from Chicago.
Oh, right. That's
right. I'm from Rockford, Illinois. I spent my junior and senior years in high school driving into Chicago to fuck musicians.
Did you go to Punkin' Donuts? Where were you going? To the Metro and stuff like that?
I was going to the Cabaret Metro. I was going to the Double Door. There was a place called the Rainbow.
I live up the street from
All here. Right, Renee, let's not flirt with my wife. That's not what the podcast is.
Too late.
But yeah, it was a fun time.
You and Renee kind of got a connection, huh?
Wicker Park's not the same anymore.
Yeah, no place is the same anymore. Renee, what's happening? How can we help? Why did you contact us?
Well, so I've been, dating on and off here in Chicago. I've lived here for 25 years. I grew up in the suburbs. And I've been dating on and off for years. I'm currently single. I'm 42 years old. And I just joined a few dating apps in the past, month. I'm on 2 now. And everyone's super nice, actually. It's an interesting thing. Everyone's being really cool. And, you know, it's nice to hear like, oh, you're like good looking from a bunch of good looking people, right? Even if they're from like outer space, who cares? It's like 9,000 miles away. Cool. That's nice.
Wait, your search radius is the entire,
I haven't really delved that deep into it. Like, I had some friends set it up kind of, so they're like, put this picture here, this is like what's up, right?
But are people
so I
just, contacting you from out of state?
Yeah, out of state. Like I think, okay, so basically when you're put on one of these things, one of them specifically, it's called Scruff, you're like added if you're like new meat, basically. So they're like, oh, check this dude out, he's like, you know, he's hot, right? So it's people from
you're gay?
Yeah, I'm gay. Yeah.
Oh, see, so that this whole time I assumed, because we live in a heteronormative society, I was just assuming you were on these straight dating apps, and I was like, what's happening? Like, all these women are like, you're so good looking, and they're new meat. We got a new straight guy that just decided to sign up. He's going to be profiled. I'm like, what fucking dating app is this?
wait. So
this makes much more sense, Renee.
Okay. Boys are easier, yes, or whatever. So, but anyways, so you're put on these like global things, and it's like, oh yeah, some dude from like Chile is like, what's up? I'm like, I don't know, what's up? Like, what the hell? You know what I mean? Like, what do you want? Or there's like 19-year-olds that are like, hey, daddy, and I'm like, what? I'm confused as to like that part. But then also, when you're talking to nice people...
Oh, let me clarify that. He doesn't mean that he thinks you're his father. He's saying, like, you're an hot older man, and he wants... You know, there's, like, a playful role play.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, you ever heard of Justin?
Yeah, did
daddy?
That clarify some of that confusion for you?
Some of your listeners. Okay. Yeah, exactly. But it's, like, I don't know. There's, like, etiquette that I'm not really sure of. I'm not, like, you know, some dork out here. I've been dating for a while, but like I'm just not sure of this exact etiquette. And it's obviously, you know, in COVID times it's completely different, because it's even like, sorry to keep talking with my hands, but it's completely different like meeting up with people and doing all of that stuff. I'm like, all of the etiquette's out the window, and I just don't want to be here like wasting time texting some dude about nothing.
I have a question, Renee. What's the end goal to these? Is it to have phone sex with some of these guys?
I don't know. Oh, because of COVID, you mean?
Yeah. Like, why is someone in Chile hitting him up? Like, what's the end goal for you two? To meet
I guess that is the end goal. I'm not sure. I think it's actually way more social than I thought it was going to be, because, like, I've talked to guys about, like, you know, degrees. I've talked to them about my past, and it's just like really.
But you probably already have a bunch of cool friends that you can talk to, right?
I do. Yeah. So I'm not trying to like waste time on that. But I feel strange being like, I don't want to waste time on here. What the hell do you want? But sometimes it's like, that's the vibe.
Well, okay. So what the hell do you want, Renee? Why did you sign up for the app? I don't quite know what your question is, but well, what is your question specifically?
The question specifically, I guess, would be like, all right, so I'm like talking to this person that I think I like. I've met up with them once safely, and we've talked for a couple weeks. And what am I supposed to like get off of this app now? He'll see if I'm on there. You know what I mean? He'll see if I'm on these apps and like this. So like that seems disrespectful in just like my old head, I guess. You know what I mean? Like,
but you only went on one date with them.
Well, I've only been on one physical date, but I've talked to him for a minute. Okay. And that's kind of like dating now.
So you're,
you know,
kind of, Renee, what you're after and the reason you signed up for these apps is you're kind of like looking for love a little bit.
Yeah, sure.
Right. So is that right?
I mean, I'm looking, yes.
So I would approach
this. I'm keeping it open. Why put myself in a box about this stuff? So
right. I mean, yeah, you're many things. You are. You're a zaddy. You know, you're fresh meat. You're a.
You're a Chilean.
You're a Gemini. Right. You're a Chilean treat. You're all these things. No.
Yeah. Right.
I think I understand what's happening. I think like okay. So you're like, you say you're 42.
Yeah.
And these are your first toe dip into apps, right?
Absolutely, yeah.
Right. So you're, and even so much so that you had to have friends fill, had to have friends help you fill out the profile. So you're like,
they didn't have to help me. I just felt it was like easier. I don't know. They kind of knew what was up. So it's like, what's gonna, you know?
Right. So you're like life. You're like tripping. I don't know what you think, Natasha, but it sounds to me like you're like tripping on the interface and the new vista of experience with these apps, right?
Yeah.
And so you have all these noise in your head telling you that app, what should I do because it's an app? How should I talk because it's an app? Things are different now that it's an app. But in reality, like this relationship that you got with this guy that you've been dating, it's very simple. What conversation would you have if the app was gone and you were dating like you're more used to dating? You would date somebody for a while and then you would start to like that guy. And then you would have a conversation where you say, I think I'm starting to like you. Should we be exclusive? I mean, it's not rocket science. It doesn't change that dynamic because it's an app. It's like regular dating. Like, are we exclusive?
Well, I guess it kind of does because I only have ever physically met this person once. So it does kind of change that because I'm used to like, if we're dating, we're hanging out, like we're going to a show, we're going to go do whatever. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
like,
you go to the Biltmore or whatever.
Right. This has got to be so hard for single people, COVID, because it's like, you know, seeing someone three times is a pretty big risk. So it's like you have to kind of accelerate your relationship in some way.
Yeah, absolutely. And three times seems like out of this world at this point. You know what I mean? Three times, that's a lot.
It took me seeing Moshe like 45 times before I was interested in even going on one date with him.
It's a little different. No, but I mean, Renee, I think my point stands. Like, don't get psyched out and don't get into a narrative in your head about COVID and apps.
But Moshe, what he's saying is that he can't physically be seeing the people, so the relationships aren't accelerating at the right pace.
But I get it. But what I'm saying is, if your specific question, am I wrong here? Your specific question is, should you stay on the app even as you're dating someone that you're is seemingly having energy and chemistry with?
Right.
There is no... Now that we're all, that people are all on apps, being on an app is like just being single. It's like not being in a relationship. And so I think my point stands. I wonder if people disagree with me. Maybe you do, Natasha, that all that needs to happen is if you feel that urge to say to someone, I want to just date you, then you have a conversation with that person. And until you feel that urge, there's nothing taboo about being still on these other apps because you haven't had the conversation about monogamy or whatever it is that you're into yet.
Right, right. Yeah. Okay. I feel that. I mean, it's confusing because like these apps have a certain, like, you know, this specific one, Scruff, has a certain like look to it. It's a bunch of dudes with their shirts off. It's a sexual place to be in. So
Renee, that's why you have to really like spend some time thinking about what it is you want. And you either have to like tweak your profile, tweak your pictures, tweak where you're going. Maybe you don't belong on Scruff, you know? Maybe there is another site for you. Like I was just trying to figure out how to get some childcare help and I was writing like a very detailed thing of what I wanted, and one of the things I really wanted were people who were taking the quarantine seriously, and like only one person wrote me back that they were like, that's exactly what I'm looking for. I'm only gonna be with a family who is doing that. But out of all the 20 people who responded, only one person. So my point is, if you put out what you want, that's the only way you're gonna that's the only way you're gonna get it back, because then you're telling people what you want, you know? So I think thinking about that and maybe just trying to infuse that into your choices when it comes to online stuff.
So wait, if I understand you correctly, Natasha, you said a lot of really good stuff there, but it sounds like you're telling Renee to find a man on care.com, the nanny site. I think that's what...
I'm on a different one that's like way less, I don't know, like sexual, I guess. It's called Hinge, and it's just like, it's just kind of like very vanilla, which is like fine, but I was like, no, this isn't really even what I'm looking for either. I don't know.
Also, I was just gonna suggest like still doing some of the old stuff, but then I realized, like, you know, it's real, how hard would it be to go out and like meet people at a social distance kind of gathering with half their face covered?
Well, they could walk. They could walk 12 feet away, pull it down real quick, and then pull it back up. I think I have an idea. This is what it sounds like to me. Again, not knowing you very well, it sounds like you're a little bit like old school and traditional. Like you're a little bit more sort of like straight laced or whatever. But also, there's things about the Hinge subculture within that app that are kind of like fun and exciting for you, right? Not Hinge, Scruff rather. The Scruff subculture that's kind of fun and exciting. And you found somebody there. You've seen him. Is there, I just had this idea. Is there a possibility, I bet there is, on Scruff to dim, like to not cancel, but to dim your membership to like...
but that seems shady.
No. This is what I'm saying.
I wouldn't know.
Hold on. Before we get... I'm not suggesting shade. I'm saying you dim it and then tell this guy... Look, this is a little weird. I barely know you, but then at the same time, I kind of do know you because COVID has made everything so weird. I didn't know whether to get off Scruff or not. So I decided to like dim it. I'm not active on it. And I'm going to see how things play out with us. I'm not saying we need to be boyfriends. I'm just saying for now, I've turned that off and I'm going to see where things go with you. And if he freaks out, that's great information. And if he's like, I love that, that's also great information.
But he might not even want that, Renee.
But do you want that?
This dude actually proposed that already after meeting once. And I was like, okay, but that's like, that's cool. That's what's up. I'll think about it. I'm just like thinking about it because I'm only 2 weeks deep on this app that everyone's telling me I'm hot. And I know that will like end in a minute. You know what I mean? But it's like kind of dope.
Is that how Scruff works? That you're like hot for a while?
My friend explained it to me tonight. He's like, yeah, they put you on this global shit. So like, you're like brand new and it's like, oh, check this person out. And you get all these, they're called woofs, basically. So you get all these likes. Yeah, you get all these likes that are just like, oh, what? Who are these people? These people are like aliens. One dude hit me up and I was like, you're a robot. There's no way you're not a robot. Who are you? Like this.
And then they're
dude.
Just, no, they're just appealing to your vanity to get you to spend more time on their stupid app.
No, but it's real people. Or you think it's fake, like fake profiles telling people.
No, but I just think the whole thing with the hearts and the messages and.
But as a side note, Renee, there's a lot of men out there, both gay and not gay, who are dealing with some serious self-esteem issues, especially in COVID, because mental health is really tricky right now. So I'm going to go ahead and recommend that everybody, straight or not, sign up for a Scruff account just to get a couple of weeks of just self-esteem boost.
Let it in. I don't need any random people in there. Yeah, there's already a bunch of married people in there. I'm like, I don't know about this. This is like a lot to deal with.
I love the idea of a straight guy who just needs a little pick me up signing up for a Scruff account.
It really works. It's really like, oh shit, because like whatever, that's cool. I don't know.
I think you have to just really go into your dating life like seriously and like really kind of go the extra mile whenever you can and really put it out there energetically that, you know, this is something you're going to focus on and
tweak absolutely.
It and just keep doing it. And don't be lazy. Like if you like try to like that's, I mean, pre-COVID, I would be like, make sure to go to the party or go to the thing. Or even if you feel like staying home, you just kind of have to force yourself out there into the world when you're really getting to that feeling where you want a partner, I think.
Yeah,
or make yourself do things you don't want to do.
Yeah, I think we both.
I that could go either way, right? Where you're like, focus on this person or focus on all of these random people that are hitting you up.
Well, this is what I think, Renee. I think that dating's supposed to be fun, and you're simultaneously having the regular fun of dating and the weird anxiety of COVID dating, and then the weird anxiety of being a guy that's never done this kind of dating before. So just like explore and have a good time. And if you like this new guy enough to dim your profile, tell him. And if you don't, just go have fun. There's nothing shady. There's nothing shady about fucking other people before anyone's had a conversation about not fucking other people. That's what I think. And when I was ready with Natasha to stop seeing other people, I said we should stop seeing other people. What do you think about that? And it's, you know, it's an old conversation that people have. And if you're ready, you're ready. And if you're not, then woof, woof. Get out there and put that dog dick out, that scruffy dog dick out there.
both woof it out on the app. No.
I think I speak for Natasha and me when I say we both woof you very much.
Okay, good luck, Renee. Glad you're being highlighted on Scruff right now.
Yeah.
Check me out.
I hope it never ends.
Good luck in Chile.
Thank you. All right, thanks,
okay,
guys.
Bye.
All right, bye, Renee.
Bye.
Moshe, you must be so happy that you got married.
I don't know. After hearing what it's like on Scruff, I'm kind of like thinking maybe I'll go get my wolf on.
It just seems like a real pain.
But, you know, I do think
What happens, you have sex with people and then you're not interested in them and then you've like wasted your COVID thing.
Oh, but you can always get tested again, right?
And quarantine 5 days and get tests. I don't know. It seems, or get but the virus.
To be honest, though, when I was single, that would be bad to get the virus. But when I was single, that was kind of probably, I'm trying to remember, but like that was probably my sexual cycle. Was like, I mean, I had like slutty months where I'd be like hooking up with a different person like every week or multiple in a week. But usually it was like I would want to hook up with somebody. If it was random, I'm saying if it was like super casual, no dating involved, I would hook up with somebody. I would feel satisfied. And then about, you know, 2 weeks would go by and I'd be like, I think I'm ready to ramble again. That's kind of perfect for COVID times, you know? You hook up, everybody's negative, you hook up, you quarantine for 2 weeks, you're starting to get horny. That's how you know it's time to get another COVID test. When you're starting to get it horny, you're like, it's time for me to go do a nose swab. But in answer to your first question, Natasha.
Yes?
Yes, I am incredibly grateful and happy to be married. Not just because I'm glad to be out of the dating game, but because, and this is huge, and I've never said this before, I love you.
Oh, I love you too. We'll be right back.